Welcome back, people. We are going to continue to talk to you about our project, and now we came to the place of the last piece where we need to automate in order to finish our continuous deployment part. So we are going to focus on Azure Automation. Prior we jump to talk to you about Azure Automation, just let's remind which practices we are exercising. So the focus is, of course, on continuous deployment, but of course we are also covering infrastructure as a code in this module. A little bit now about Azure Automation. Azure Automation is a service built on top of the Azure platform that enables us to run PowerShell workflows and to automate few of the things. In our project, we wanted to automate end-to-end provisioning and to use JSON as a starting point that will enable automation to provision isolated environments. So Srdjan, when we were solving the piece and working with our clients, why did we choose this as a final product or final piece for our solution?
Well, actually we needed a component that could run automatically on some schedule or triggered by external action. And we used automation because it's based on PowerShell, and we have PowerShell solution for triggering Azure Resource Management deployment. So it seemed that Azure Automation was ideal service for us.
Yes, and what was also super for me when I was building this is that actually it offers us to import some of the modules for PowerShell and to extend its capabilities.
Yes, it's important to notice that although PowerShell workflows are PowerShell workflows, there are some differences, and there are some differences when using Azure Resource Management in PowerShell runbooks, so you will see that through our demo.
Yes, and now prior we jump to demo, let's just talk about runbook auditing and what we did together. So first, when I started to create this runbook, I needed a good editor, and luckily Azure and Azure Portal offers very rich authoring environment.
Yes, thanks to Visual Studio Online team, and their authoring environment is built on top of that.
Yes, so it's really neat and easy to use and to edit and change. Of course, we will direct you. There is a good gallery of the runbooks that you can use as a starting point and then change whatever you need or adapt for your use. Also, what is super cool, we touched this a little bit, is actually you can add modules for PowerShell that you need, and we will show you how to add Azure Resource Management.
Yes,
module.
Definitely. One of the big benefits of this platform is it's completely extensible, completely customizable. A lot of that code is open source on GitHub, so you can really find support for any automation action you would like to implement.
Yes, and also what was really helpful for me, it was a usage of assets in the runbooks, for example, to call credentials and variables that were needed for provisioning.
Yes, that is a very much important feature. As you saw in previous modules, we had to hide some passwords that are described in the code, etc. So for the exact that reason, you have a credential, you have encrypted variables as assets, like global objects that you can access from your runbook code. So I think that it's very important capability of Azure Automation Service in order to be used in professional use.
Yes, and what was also very helpful for me while I was building the runbook, I could test it. So there is a really good test capability. So I was in, let's say, loops or passes through build of runbook script, could test it and see how I'm progressing and does it really do what we wanted to do.
Yes, really that's one of the things I like the most about Azure Automation, that it has a complete end-to-end solution for authoring.
Yes, and finally the last piece is when you are done testing and when you like what it produces and what it does, you just publish it and then it can be used by other parties that are using the automation service. And now let's just do an additional flashback to our DevOps blend of solution practices, what we were doing. So the last piece was how to automate what was already there. So if we start from a left-hand side, Srdjan, you were using Visual Studio to build your code. We were using Visual Studio code to produce infrastructure as a service code. We were building the web solution code into Visual Studio Online. It was our build service for this piece. Then we used the Docker Hub along with GitHub to produce our containers.
Yes, and I would say that Docker Hub, when we say when we are talking about DevOps practices and continuous integration, Docker Hub is that integration part, because yes, it builds container based on infrastructure code, but that code includes a download of web app packaged by Visual Studio Online build. So Docker Hub does that integration part between web app code and infrastructure code.
Yes, and what we then, if we just stop here, then we will have a manual process and use Azure Resource Manager to provision instances of the QA environment, which is semi-acceptable because we didn't have then continuous deployment.
Yes, you can actually trigger deployment using a template from your desktop machine, development machine. But I think that Azure Automation Component here takes central part because it orchestrates all of these stuff for you and enables seamless integration and deployment process.
Yes, because if we if we stop what we mentioned at the beginning of this explanation, then we will be at the part that either developer or a guy from operations is running either PowerShell or through Visual Studio provisioning.
Yes, or that could be done on some on-prem service that will automatically be scheduled to run. But here with Azure Automation, we have a completely cloud, completely online solution. And when I say development, I mean development of web app code as well as infrastructure code. Only that part is done on desktop machines, on-prem, and everything else here in our solution is done online on cloud.
Yes, and when you say on-prem, it could be not just on-premise of your company, it could be the coffee shop or whatever you prefer to sit back, relax, and write your app or your code.
Yes, and as you as we showed in previous models, you can use both Visual Studio Online and GitHub to make some edits in the code, but in reality, the coding and developing is done on our laptops.
Yes, and the last piece then is actually what we said. Azure Automation is grabbing all of the things that is in previous steps produced and creating isolated environments as it is triggered. So without any further ado, let's jump and see how it actually is done. We're starting from our GitHub repository, and we will talk to you firstly about the JSON file, because in the previous model we saw how it describes the environment that needs to be built. Now, what is the key component for us is how to automate the build of these environments according to change that is happening either to infrastructure as a code or in application code. In order to do so, we will use, as we said, Azure Automation. So I will jump to Azure Automation. I will go to my Azure Automation component. I will open it, and let me first describe to you what is Azure Automation build of and what are the key components. So key components of Azure Automation is runbooks, assets, and jobs. In runbooks part, we have actually runbooks that are executing either through scheduled task or some hooks or some triggers. In asset, we put the, for example, some strings, values, variables that are used for these runbooks. And in the jobs, we can monitor how our runbooks are executing. Prior we go and see the code of the runbooks and what's written inside, let us for the brief moment describe you what are assets. So what would I like to point out here? As I said, you have modules, you have variables and credentials. First, I'm going to focus on modules because by default, the module that I use, it's Azure Resource Manager module. It is not by default there, and you need to add it by going here and clicking on the add module. So if you want to add any module, and in our case, it's Azure Resource Manager module, you go click add module and add it. When you add the modules that is needed for your runbooks to run, you go and define some of the variables. what the variable is currently needed for my runbook is actually Docker paths that I don't want to hard code there, because I want to be able to share runbook that I wrote with you guys and not to expose our secrets. This is where I put the variables. Of course, if you are for the first time running your automation account, you will need to define credentials in which credentials will be used, in which tenant it is going to run against. So if you didn't configure it, you better go and configure one, because your Azure automation will not run properly. Now let's jump to the runbook and see what is actually written in a runbook and how PowerShell workflow delivers this for us. So I will jump to our runbook and I will go in edit. So first, prior I explained to you how workflow does it things, let's go to asset and let me show you that I'm using these variables and credential in my runbook. So let me zoom it. So this is something that you define in the asset part, and then you are just calling it in your runbook and your PowerShell workflow.
So these names are something you define.
Exactly. It could be blah, blah, whatever. You just give it a name and then you later on call it in your PowerShell workflow. So let's now jump and explain some pieces of our runbook. So first piece here, you see the start of the workflow. This is how Azure automation understands that it needs to start run and processing some commands. So in the first piece here, you see that I'm actually connecting to the tenant and using this, how to say, asset Azure PS credential that will be run against the tenant that we want to build our environment. When we're done with this, then the next step is actually to start building the environment. And let's discuss some of the objects that we are actually creating and using. First, we saw at the beginning of this demo that I was at the GitHub and that I was using this deploy Azure JSON. This is the actual template that describes the environment and all the components of the environment. So I'm getting it into variable file template that later I will use against the ARM module of the PowerShell in order to build environment. Then since we agreed that we will have the name for our resource group Docker QA with the characters of the date and the time when the actual QA is built, I'm here transforming the system time that I have on the Azure platform in the format that actually could be used for we need to put the name of the resource group. We also need to name the public name, and we also need to have the storage account name. So I'm transforming in the format that all of these components get chew these variables and the strings. Then the interesting part is here how I'm getting the password, and we talked about Docker passes. This is again the something that I'm pulling out and using from the asset repository. If I was not using this approach, then I would need to hardcore the pass here and I would expose the passes that we are
yes,
using.
Yes, and definitely that is the thing we would like to avoid.
And then almost we are at the end of provisioning. We have something that we are creating parameters object component that we are actually going to pass to the Azure resource group build component.
Yes, the thing I would like to point out here is that there are many ways you can run a new Azure resource group command in PowerShell, but it seems that when you are running that from the workflow, not all of the ways would work. So this is one of the ways that will work and that will enable you to pass the parameters to the command appropriately.
Yes, exactly. And now the last piece that actually building the needed environment and resource group is this piece here that we are now providing the name you saw about how we are transforming name from a local date and time. Then in which location we are putting it, this could also be a variable, but for these purposes we are focusing on Western Europe. It fits us and our tenants, so we hard-coded it. It could be variable again.
Yes, and I would also point out here the way that new Azure Resource Group command is being called. What you could notice that there is no like switch Azure mode command that would switch PowerShell in Azure Resource Management mode, but rather it uses and calls new Azure Resource Group command directly from Azure Resource Manager module that we imported.
Exactly, we are just specifying from which module it should be called. And more or less, this is the end of our workflow. We have now all components that we could run and execute and create new instances of the environments that we need.
Yes, Alex, but we need to show one more thing. So now we see how automation is written, but we could you show us, please, how we could trigger automation when our Docker hub builds the container?
Yeah, sure. Let's. There is two pieces. One is, of course, on Azure side, so we need to go and create or enable webhook, and we have one. So let me just jump here and show you. So this is the Docker deploy webhook that we are using for our purposes. So when we add the webhook on our automation side on the Azure, we need to jump to the Docker hub and to configure how it will actually trigger this. So this is the first piece. Let me jump now to the Docker Hub. So when you are in the Docker Hub, you need to go actually to the part of webhooks, and then you need to define webhook. Here is the webhook that we defined. We can go edit it and in the history. So just for this demo purposes, let's edit it. So you see that actually it is
calling Azure Automation.
Yes. And now I think it's fair just to test this and to see how we were testing and provisioning new environments. So if I go to resource group fire, fire the test, you see that we have two environments. One was made on the 3rd of September, one was made on the 6th of September. We have two of them. Now if I go back and just go again in edit mode, and let's say that I finished some editing changes, there up here there is a test pane. So I will go and click in test pane, and I will just go and click start. And luckily, if everything runs as it should, we should have our third environment. So we will spin the start, and we'll go fade in, fade out, because it lasts for like 10 minutes, and then we will show you the end result. And as we had the starting point, you see now two resource groups that we started with. Now I'll go and refresh this, and we should be seeing the third one. So here is the third one, just recently built. And if we click on it, you will see that we are having the new environment provisioned from our testing of the runbook. Now it's time us to go back to the slides and finish this module. Okay, we saw the demo. I believe the time now is to go and share with you and cool MVL links and Kickstarter points regarding Microsoft Azure Automation. So first thing, if you want to go and drill down a little bit more deeper how things should be done, go and take a look at section Introduction to Microsoft Azure Automation and Automating Cloud with Azure Automation. Of course, there is a gallery at TechNet, so go and check it out.
Yes, you can find already made solutions there.
Yes, and it's a good starting point for learning, changing and digesting the things regarding Azure Automation. And last but not least, it's our call to action. So please go and browse our Next Steps resource page. There will be some of our resources that we shared with you. And then please try DevOps practices and tools and be open to explore, learn and share.
Yes, and doing is the best way to learn. So build your own DevOps solutions.
Yes, and thank you very much. Please reach out to us. You can find us on the Twitter, LinkedIn. We would like to hear your feedbacks and your thoughts, ideas, and maybe some new cool things that we could show to you. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.